the grain open.
Thank you.
Amen. Show of hands.
I mean to say that's your testimony. Can you say it again?
Glory to God.
Amen. Oh, we've been so blessed, and we're so blessed to have Brother Justin here and Brother Green. Brother Green, come on up and preach to us. Amen.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back this evening, and I thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for the fellowship, the pastor, and his wife. They've been feeding me fish ever since I've been here. I think I have mercury poisoning, but I had cancer. She knows when I came down with it. I think 4 or 5 years ago now, and then she got it, and I told my doctor, I said, I can't take care of two cancer people at the same time. I said, I'm going to postpone my radiation and let her do what she had to do. And so she got through it, and so I got into it, and we're both cancer survivors in 2020, so I'm thankful for that. But I'm down to only eating fish and chicken. And as of yesterday, bear. I had a little bear meat yesterday. But that's pretty good, too. But it's a blessing to be here. It's just a privilege. We've had good fellowship, and I thank God for it. And I appreciate Brother Justin. He has probably got one of the greatest reservoirs of corny jokes I've heard since my father. My father was real bad for corny jokes, and I'll give you a couple tonight. These aren't for you people. They're just, I could have told them privately, but you know, he might not laugh as much. I don't know. He may not laugh at all. But I heard about it. My dad used to tell this joke. My dad's 92, by the way, and he can't walk anymore, can't hear, can't see, can't hardly get around, but he preached for over 70 years. I think this thing's echoing a little bit. If you don't mind, I'll put that out of the way. The sad thing about it, I have preached, I was telling the pastor today, there's a couple of churches in America that I have preached in every single year for the last 45, 46 years. And this year I didn't preach at either one of them. And to a certain extent, I'm kind of glad. In both of those churches last year when I was there, there were ladies that came up to me that knew my father and knew me, obviously. And they said that both of those ladies, they were older than me. They said, you know, you look so much like your dad. And I'm saying, he's 92. I must look terrible. You know, I look this bad. But my dad used to tell a story about a fellow that he was on his deathbed and he was home. And his wife was in the kitchen making chocolate chip cookies. And he smelled those things, you know, the aroma of those things just wafting through the house. And he tried to get his wife's attention. She wouldn't listen to, she couldn't hear him or whatever. And so he rolled out of bed and just crawled on his elbows all the way out into the kitchen. And he reached up on the table to grab one of those cookies, and she slapped his hand and said, no, Herbert, those are for after your funeral. So, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible, corny joke, but my dad, she liked it. This lady said she liked it. But anyway, you know, it's fun. You know, you get old and nothing you can do about it. And you know, if I'd have known I'd live to be 71 years of age, I think I'd have taken a little better care of myself. You know, you live your life and you do a lot of things and crazy things. And you look back and why in the world did I ever get involved in this mess? And you know, I'd have probably eaten better and watched my health a little bit better. You know, you sow your wild oats and you end up reaping oat bran, barley green, and Metamucil. You know, it's just a strange pattern in life, but, you know, a lot of us are there now, and we're getting there. You know, sometimes people, make fun of what, we call old time religion, and old time Baptist fundamentalism. and look at us perhaps as prehistoric dinosaurs, or maybe an old dog that ought to be put down. And from time to time you hear reports that fundamentalism has died or is dying. That's just wishful thinking.
That's right. That's right.
Because we have a God that knows how to get us out of the grave.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. I thank God for the faithfulness of God's people and those that want to serve God and live for God. And I'm a big reader. I like what A.W. Tozer said. I think a lot of things that he said. He said any church that can't or won't worship must be entertained. And if one cannot lead a church to worship, he must continue to entertain. I thank God. I thank God that worship is far more important than entertainment.
Amen. Amen.
Tozer said this too. He said, worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ
Amen.
Within us.
Amen.
That is a profound statement to me. We don't need what the world has.
That's right.
The world needs what
Amen.
We have.
Amen.
And I pray that God would help us to be the kind of Christians that we ought to be in this day and age. It may not be popular. You may not have the biggest church in town, but God help us. We have to answer to this book.
Amen.
And our lives need to match up with the Word of God. Now that's my free sermon and a couple jokes for Justin.
Amen.
I don't know what he'll do with them, though, bless his heart. She's too young to tell someone. So I want you to look in your book, if you would, to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to read maybe 8 or 10 verses, maybe a little bit more in this chapter. And I pray that the Lord would help us tonight to see this simple truth that the Lord had showed me some time ago. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now, I thought about that maybe about the third or fourth time I preach this little message. John Baptist and Jesus, their mothers were cousins. So there may have been some family resemblance between those two young men. As they were growing up, people could tell that they came from the same family. I think it was probably a little bit more than that when it came to their preaching. I think they both preached a similar message. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, in these couple, 3 days. I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd use us. May this simple truth from the Word of God find a lodging place in the hearts and minds of our listeners. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you on this topic tonight. I really have two titles. Number one, my, how you have changed. My, how you have changed. Now, we say this a lot about folks that we haven't seen in a while. You see it mostly in children. Now, we have some grandchildren. We don't see them very often. We have a son that pastors in Beckley, West Virginia. He has one little girl. We have a son and his family is missionaries in Mexico. And we have a son in Michigan and his family. And there's all girls and one boy. But we don't see those kids very often. You know, and you see them once a year or so, if you're fortunate. And my goodness, you know, when they were this tall, now they're this tall. And they change. Their countenance changes. Their look changes. There's a lot of change. Sometimes sickness affects how an individual looks. Their countenance is clouded by their illness or circumstances. Now, Justin, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. You're a single man, is that right? You never, when you meet a lady that you haven't seen in a while, and she is a little fluffier than the last time you saw her, you don't say, when is the baby due? You don't ever say that, Justin. Just leave that completely out of your mind for the rest of your life. You can see in this chapter how quickly Peter's position changed. Yes. He said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then tells him, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again from the dead." And he said, "Well, that's not going to happen. You can forget about that. That's about the dumbest thing you've ever said." That's basically what he was saying to the Lord. But in both cases, Jesus said to him, after his first response, he said, this didn't come of flesh and blood. This came from my heavenly Father. And the second little retort that Peter had about trying to correct the Lord about prophesying that he was going to die and rise again, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So in a matter of just a few minutes, Jesus said to Peter, "My Father gave you those words." And a little bit later he said, "You got those from Satan." Unknowingly, Peter was used of the Lord, the Father, and used by the devil so quickly. Unknowingly, used by God and Satan within minutes. My second title tonight is, "Who is using you?" Now, God picked up Peter and he used him to proclaim the deity of Jesus Christ. In a matter of a few minutes, the devil is playing a different tune on this disciple's life. Who is playing you? How different our tune can be in just a matter of minutes. Now, you know this as well as I do, that there is a difference between our mortal flesh and what the Bible often refers to as the flesh. When most of the time when the Bible is talking about our flesh, it's not talking about our physical body. And I'll just give you one verse, because all of you know this verse, Galatians 5:24. "They that are Christ have crucified the lusts of the flesh." And that's not what it says. I got it written down. I better say it right. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lusts and the affections." So there's not a person in this room that belongs to Jesus Christ that has taken your physical flesh out and been crucified. So we know that that's talking about the inner man. That's talking about that disposition within. It's not talking about our physical body,
but that part of us that moves us to do what we do. Now, your flesh never disappears when you get saved. But when you did get saved, you were, see, you still got your old nature. But when you got born again, you were given a divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. When you got born again, if you were genuinely saved, you received the heredity of Jesus Christ. We use this term, he's been regenerated or regeneration. We've been regened, if you please. We have a completely new spiritual genetic makeup. We have a different DNA living inside of us if you're saved. We're born again. Same old body. Same old physical body. But God enables us. Listen, before you got saved, well, let's go there. Romans chapter 6. We'll come back in a minute. Romans, one of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Isn't that a wonderful verse of scripture? We don't have to stay in the sinning business as a child of God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm no longer dominated by that sin nature because we have a new nature. Now skip down to verse 17. Just save a minute. But God be thanked. Oh no, let's read 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin. Every single one of us in this room that is saved, we were a servant to sin. We were obedient servants to sin. Wouldn't it be great if you could be as an obedient servant to righteousness as you were to sin?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be as faithful a servant of God as you were a servant to sin?
He said, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Then he said, and this is great because, you know, Paul knows a lot about people. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Now he's talking to saved people. He's saying, now listen. If you are going to, as a child of God, if you are going to yield your members to uncleanness, it will lead to what? Iniquity. And then he said, and iniquity. So if you yield your members, I don't want to be risque or anything, but if you get on your computer, or you get on your telephone, and you look at pictures that you ought not to look at, or if you read magazines and books that you ought not to read, when a child of God yields his members to uncleanness, it leads to iniquity and iniquity. And if you please, and I want you to really, I want you to remember just what we are like as human beings. To iniquity and iniquity and iniquity and more iniquity.
That's right. That's right.
If you yield those members, you say, what are my members? Your hands, physical, your eyes, your ears, your feet. If you yield these members, the parts of your body, now it's talking about your physical flesh here. If you yield your members to uncleanness, it leads to iniquity unto iniquity. Then he says, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness. What's that lead to, class? Unto holiness. Unto holiness. Without which no man will see the Lord.
Amen.
Yield your members, servants, to righteousness. Used to be an obedient servant to sin. Now we can be an obedient servant to God.
Amen.
H. Rob French, an old preacher of the past, said, "Wear this world like a loose robe." You know, sin is not a defect in a child of God's life. It's a defiance.
Yes.
Well, it's just, I'm a green, so, we do dumb things. You can't blame it off on your family heritage.
Right.
No. You got saved. Yes. The Holy Ghost, He lives inside of every single one of us. This isn't in my notes, but think about it. Have you ever started to go down a trail as a child of God doing something wrong? And this word's only mentioned two or three times in all the Bible. Check. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost inside of you, checks you. Better not do that. Or stop. You know what happens to a lot, of Christians though? They just go right through those checkpoints.
Right.
They don't listen to the Holy Ghost. He lives inside. He is the closest entity that you have in your life. He lives inside of us. Who is using you? My, how quickly we can change.
Yes.
I had a guy call me just a few years ago, three, four years ago or so. And he asked me to come. I'd never been to where his church was. I can't remember the name of the little town, but I had to fly into Buffalo, New York. And I flew into Buffalo, and he picked me up. And I don't know if he recognized me, if we kind of figured out who each other was. And we got in the car, and we're driving. We had to drive about an hour or so to where his church was and where I was staying. They had a mission house across the street from the church, and so that's where I was going to stay. And so we were driving along there, and he asked me, he said, "Do you have any Indian blood in you?" I said, "Well, my grandmother's grandmother on my mother's side was a Chippewa Indian." He said, "Good, that's enough." I said, "Enough for what?" He said, "We've got to drive through an Indian reservation. And if there's somebody in the car who has some Indian blood in them, we can buy gas for 50 cents cheaper a gallon." Now, why in the world would the Indians get 50 cents a gallon off of gas? I don't know. Also, cigarettes were $1 a pack cheaper, and I didn't buy any. I think he might have, but I'm not sure. But we bought gas for 50 cents a gallon. You know, I was preaching in Saginaw, Michigan. Oh, this is almost a decade ago. And my son, my middle son, came to hear me, and he can talk. I don't know if this is politically correct or not, but my son could talk to a wooden Indian for an hour, and wouldn't nonstop. He'd be happy too. But he'd talk to anybody. So I had a book table, and I usually do, but just this COVID thing has kind of messed up my book sales. But so I had a book table, and so I'm packing things up, and there was a guy sweeping the floors, a large church in Saginaw, Michigan. Somebody mentioned the pastor's name to me today, I think. And so I was there, and he was cleaning and everything. And he turned that sweeper off for a moment, and I heard my son say, "Do you mean to tell me your grandmother gets $800 a week from the United States government just because she's an Indian?" And it caught my attention. And so I went over and I said, "Now, did I hear that right? That your grandmother gets $40,000 plus a year just because she's an Indian?" He said, "Well, that's not all. She gets $40,000 from the government. She gets so much from the tribe." I said, "My grandma makes about $100,000 a year just because she's an American Indian." The thought went through my mind, fellas. I should have married an Indian. What our forefathers should have done? They should have killed all the braves and we'd have married the squaws and we'd all been rich. I mean, what a crazy thing.
Oh, I got to go back to New York now. So, I get to they put me in my little house across the street from the church. Sunday morning, roll around. And they had a real tiny vestibule. The church was maybe as long as this. No, it was not as long as this. Maybe it was about as long as this church is wide, and then as wide as this church is. They only had 8 rows, but there were longer rows, and it was laid out different. And so I did Sunday school, and then I had a tiny little book table. And I think back in those days, I didn't even have books. I don't remember what I had. I might have had a few little books. And I think I sold cassette tapes, so you can tell how long ago that was. So I was standing there between Sunday school and church. And I saw these double doors over here. And when I thought about this, I said, I better use them. So, is this going to mess this up? It'll be all right. So a lady, and I'm using that term lightly, a lady came, and they had double doors like this, and she saw me standing there with my little book table, and she put her head behind the door. I could see her body. She put her head behind the door, and she said, "Oh no, another guest speaker." She didn't come back until after I'd been preaching. I'd say I'd already read the scripture and probably been preaching 5 minutes. And the only empty row in the whole place was in the second row. They had packed a few Sunday. The place was packed. There was over 100 people in that pile in that little church. You know, that whole second row was empty. And in she comes. With she and her crowd, they filled that whole row. When I preached the gospel that morning, like I did Sunday morning, obviously not the same message, but one similar to that, where you throw out the gospel net trying to reach sin. We had 8 people got saved that morning. A lady, now here's another thing you need to learn, Justin. When you talk about ladies' ages, and the ladies might be over 50, you always subtract about 10 years. So if you think she's 70, oh, she can't be over 50. You know, that's how you keep from getting putting your foot in your mouth. If you see teenage girls, they like to be about 10 years older. So you just got to be careful about all that stuff. So out of that row came a lady. To be honest with you, she was pushing 70. But I wouldn't have said that if she was here today. She came out of that row. She got saved. Teenage girl, I'd say 18, but she's probably 14. She came out of that row and she got saved. And there were 6 other people got saved. I'm walking out to get to my little table in the back. And that lady, she stopped me right here. She's almost uncontrollable. She said, "Brother Crane, that was the greatest sermon I ever heard in my life." She said, "My mother and my daughter both got saved today." I mean, in less than 15 minutes, I went from, "Oh no, another guest speaker," to the second coming of Billy Sunday. My, how quickly we can change.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who is using you, Peter?
"Well, I proclaim that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." My father gave you that. Now listen, Lord, you don't really know what you're talking about. That's not going to happen. Get thee behind me, Satan.
How quickly we can change. I wonder who was talking when that lady said, "Oh, no, another guest speaker." Or made me really feel welcome. I wonder who's using us when we criticize another Christian brother.
Yes.
I wonder who's using us when we're criticizing the pastor. I wonder who is using us when somebody gets messed up. They fall into sin and, you know, we stand back and say, "Yeah, I knew that happened to him." I wonder who uses us when we try to be a Barnabas.
to be an encouragement, to be a helper. I wonder who's using us when we sow discord. I wonder who's using us when we gossip. Wouldn't it be great if we could see each other through the eyes of God's forgiveness?
Amen.
My wife knows who I'm talking about. There's a little gal. I pray for her every day of her life. She's probably in her 40s now. Every day. She went to college and stayed up north. And at spring break one year, she went down to Alabama to the beach. Now, I'll be honest with you. You can believe what you want to believe. I don't think the beach is any place for a born-again Baptist at spring break.
That's right.
Now, my wife and I walked on the beach down here today fully clothed. I had just about as much clothes as I got on right now, and so did she. We probably looked out of place, but who cares? I don't have to answer to those beachgoers. I got to answer to Him. So do you. She went down to the beach for spring break from way up north. And she met a boy. And that boy wasn't a Christian. And her mother was adamant that you're not going to marry a lost boy. And boy, they fought about it. And finally, she moved down to Alabama, close to be where that boy was. He had a business down there. And she had her own home from a very wealthy family. One day, I found out, I don't know how I found out, where they lived. They lived in one city and it wasn't too far from where I was preaching a meeting. And so I called her mother called our house for something, maybe talked to my wife. And I said, you know, I'm going to be in such and such a town. It's not too far away from where, called her daughter's name, where she lives. And maybe she could get that boy to come to church and I could preach the gospel to him. Maybe he'd get saved. And I think the girl genuinely had witnessed to him and talked to him about the Lord. And so they came. And I preached the gospel. A few people came forward and that boy came forward. And the organ was over on this side of the building. And he went over there and knelt down. And I went over there and knelt down beside him. And you can do what you want to do when it comes to soul winning. But I said to that boy, if you're coming down here this morning, just so... I called that girl's mother. I said, her mother will let you marry her daughter. You're going to die and go to hell.
That's right.
You make all kinds of faith profession like that if you want. A profession of faith will get you in hell just as quick as not even trusting Jesus.
Yeah.
Period. Or even knowing about Jesus. That he boo-hooed and made a profession of faith and they got married. They were married 2 months. She's a beautiful girl. And she called her mother in tears and said, he won't sleep with me. He hasn't slept with me for a month. He goes down to the basement and sleeps. She said, I went down the other day and I found his stash of dope. He'd been blowing $150 worth of cocaine up his nose every day. So her brother and her uncle went down and rescued her and brought her back home to the old home church. And she got going to church faithful. And listen, you can't lay out a church and stay faithful.
Right.
I'll say it again. You can't lay out of church and stay faithful to God. It's impossible. We all need to have this book preached to us. We need to read it every day. We need to practice what it says. But we need that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Got to have preaching. Whether it's soft preaching or loud preaching, you got to have preaching.
Right.
And she got back in church, going faithful with her mother. Lived at her mother's house. And her mother called every once in a while and called her daughter's name and said, oh, the preacher said something today and really helped her. And down the aisle she went and got. She's really making some strides, Brother Tim. She's really coming back. It's wonderful. But there were some women in that church. They just couldn't wrap their little pea brains around, why would this girl just got married? Why is she up here living with her mother?
Yeah.
And so they had to go to her. And they went there and said, well, why would your husband let you come up and live with your mom so long? And you know, your husband must really trust you letting you come back here to your, you know, where you grew up, and you might have had an old boyfriend, and why?
And it drove that girl right out of that church. And I don't think she's been back except for maybe a funeral or two in all these years. Now, that's not a positive statement about her. And it sure isn't a positive statement about those Jezebels.
Right.
They had to go and just add a little more weight to that girl's broken heart. Who is using you?
Who picks up the trumpet of your life and proclaims Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Now, Lord, you know, you really don't know what you're talking about. You better just cool it now. Who's using you?
Yeah.
Now, you'll never meet this man. It's the strangest thing. I didn't even think about it when I was thinking about these notes. I saw a picture of this fellow last week. I hadn't seen this man in 35 years, probably. All of 35 years. Probably pushing 40. And he's laying up in the hospital right now in Jacksonville, Florida. I'll call his name. You'll never meet him, I don't think. His name is Fred Henning. Fred's wife got saved, and then Fred got saved at my dad's church way back. I mean, pushing 50 years ago. Fred was one of those kind of Christians, when he was right, you couldn't get any righter. I mean, he's faithful and serving God. And then something would happen, and he'd get discouraged, and the FBI couldn't find him for 6 months. And then he'd come back, and he'd hit the altar and get right, and everybody'd shout and praise the Lord. Oh, Freddie's back. Boy, it'd be wonderful. He'd stay faithful maybe a year, and then he'd pop out again for another 90 days for 6 months. And one day, he'd been out of my dad's church for a long, long time. I don't know, probably 6 months to a year, easy. My father's church in those days, across the front, it was the hallway was about as long as your whole building right here, and it was all glass. So you could see out in the parking lot who was coming or who parked out in the front. You could just, you know, you could see everybody. So there were four or five of us idiots. Why are you laughing, honey? She knows this idiot. There were four or five of us idiots standing around the drinking fountain. And we saw Fred coming. We saw him coming a long ways. So he got about as close as the pulpit is. We were four or five of us standing around. We started singing. I don't know, just spontaneous. There's a welcome here. There's a welcome here. There's a welcome, Freddy boy. He turned on his heel and walked out. We didn't see him for another 90 days. I wonder who used us that morning. I wonder who put it in our hearts and dumb minds to discourage this brother who was coming back and turn on his heel and walk out. Who uses you? Who uses me? My, how quickly we can change. I was preaching in a distant state. As far away from here as you can possibly get and still be in America. And I was preaching up there, and I got some of this from the pastor, and I got some of this from the mother of the girl. There was a young lady in this church where I preach. I go there every other year and preach. I think I told about the pastor and his wife last night in an illustration, or yesterday morning. I don't know when it was. But anyway, this girl had a boyfriend that wasn't a Christian. And her mother and dad, they forbade her to have anything to do with this boy at all. But a woman in the church found out about it. And she was filled with the spirit of Oprah. And she said to this girl, now I know you like John. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask your mother if you can come over and do some work for me at my house.
And I'll invite John over, and you can be together at my house. And within a few weeks, she's expecting a child without one of these on her finger. I wonder who used that woman. I wonder who put it in that heart of that evil lady to put that young couple together. I got this from the mother in the airport. I was flying out Monday morning. I said, "Wait, how are you, ma'am?" And she says, "Hi." And I said, "You were at church Sunday." She said, "Yes, I was." And I said, "Where are you going? You know, you got to fly somewhere to get out of where I was to get back to Anchorage." And she said, "Oh, I'm going down to Portland, Oregon." I said, "Really? What's going on?" My daughter, she's having a baby. And I said, "Really?" I said, "That's just wonderful." Her and her husband, "Oh, no, she's not married." I sent her down there to live with my parents and have the baby to take the shame off it from the community and from our church. I wonder who used that lady to invite that girl to her house and bring that wicked boy over. And they could sin in that sinner's house. We need to call it what it is.
Yes.
Who is using you? My, how quickly we can change. In the summer at Myrtle Beach, when the traffic is just terrible. My, how quickly we can change.
Yes.
Or something at work doesn't just go our way. We got to put our 2 cents in. Or something happens at the house. Or mom and dad tell you to do something. You get rebellious. My, how quickly we change. You remember Peter? In the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. In the 51st verse, and I'm done. In the 51st verse. Here comes Judas. Josephus said there were 600 men with Judas that winded their way up from that Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives carrying torches. It must have looked like a blazing serpent as up they came. And Peter cut a guy's ear off. And Jesus put it back on. I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have been there that day, I'd have got on my knees and trusted Christ as my Savior. And saw that. But you just go 23 verses later. John gets him in to where Jesus was being tried. He doesn't go into the actual place. He stands outside with a bunch of people warming himself by the devil's fire. And a little maid comes up and said, "You were with Jesus." I don't know, little lady. You don't know what you're talking about. Somebody else comes up and said, "I saw you there. Matter of fact, I'm related to the guy who you cut his ear off." And Jesus, Peter said, "I blankety blank don't know what you're blankety blank talking about." The Bible said he cursed, he swore, and used oaths. I mean, his mouth did about every bad thing you could possibly do. He cursed. I think he took the Lord's name in vain. Whatever that was back in those days. Foul words came out of his mouth. Here he is cutting, now he's cursing. But you go just 4 more verses in that chapter, and he's crying. I read today, I think it was in the, the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. Luke was a doctor, he's a physician. Luke didn't say anything about him cursing, or cussing, or using oaths. He didn't say anything about it. He's kind to him there. It's interesting how the Holy Ghost does things like that. But you know what he did say that none of the other Gospels say?
Wow, those words, those black words are coming out of his mouth. The Lord turned and looked at him. And their eyes met. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? And the Bible said, he went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. My wife's here tonight. I've been embarrassed her for all the money in the world. I've only heard her weep one time bitterly. That was, I came home from a meeting in November, 5 years ago, huh, I guess. And the doctor called on the phone and I just said, hey, and I didn't unpack my bags. I said, hon, it's for you. And I heard her begin to weep bitterly. And the doctor told her she had cancer. That's how Peter wept. Who's using you? Who uses you at the house? Who uses you on the job? Who uses you at the church house? My, how quickly we can change. Father in heaven, we thank you for these few minutes tonight. What a story. What a privilege it must have been for Peter. Unknowingly, just shouted, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, Pete, that didn't come of flesh and blood. You didn't make that up on your own. That came from my Father. And just a few minutes later, the devil was using him to really deny the essence of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their heads are bowed, their eyes are closed. Sis, if you come play when I ask you to. And there's Christians in this room. You've listened to me for the last 40 minutes. And the Holy Ghost has talked to you about something. Something different, perhaps, in every single individual Christian in this room. You're born again, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But every once in a while, you let that old flesh, that disposition within. I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. I have to deal with it all the time, just like you do. But if the dear Lord has talked to you about something specifically tonight, she's going to play in just a moment. When she starts to play, we're going to stand to our feet. And I want you to come get in this altar. Listen, this is how we have revival. You know, there's some of you, you listen to me while I preach tonight. And you haven't had good thoughts. Well, he shouldn't have said that. I'll answer to God for that, not you. Meaning, I won't answer to you. I answer to God. Every single word we say. Matter of fact, even the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. We'll face it one day. So let's stand to our feet, sister, play. Do you mind the Lord tonight? Do you take care of something tonight? In your life, do it. Take some character. Take some courage. Take some humility. You know, it's easy to blow up in our pride. I'm not going to have some preacher tell me how. Okay. Jesus paid it all. That's what she's playing. He paid our sin debt. He paid the price of our redemption on Calvary. We owe him everything.
everything. You can yield your members to uncleanness, or you can yield your members to righteousness. It's up to you. It's up to you, sir. It's up to you, lady. Teenager, what are you looking at on your phones? What are you looking at over at your friend's house that mom and dad wouldn't let you look at it at their house? But you can go over to your friend. Of course, their mother and dad are both at work, and so they don't know what you're doing over there. They don't know what their kid's doing. Jesus paid a tremendous price. May God help us to live a life that brings honor and glory to Him in every aspect. I think from what your pastors told me, you folks have prayed, seeking God, looking for revival. Revival comes when the Aikens have the junk taken out from underneath their tent. Revival comes when the Rachels say, "Give me children or else I die." The revival comes when the Davids say, "I have sinned. I can't go to Him. He can't come to me, but I can go to Him. I can't do nothing about that son that was born in iniquity." God, help us tonight. Take care of things that need to be taken care of. Sometimes we need to go to one another and apologize. Sometimes we need to go and say, "I'm sorry." I'm sorry is hard to say sometimes, isn't it? Or "forgive me." Or "I was wrong." Those are all wonderful things for a Christian to be able to say. Because we all do things. Father, we thank you for these few minutes tonight. I pray that the message from the Word of God and the words that fell from the lips of Peter and the words that superseded the words that came from Peter, that came from our Lord, may they resonate in our hearts. May we be resolved that we're going to be better Christians than we were yesterday. I don't understand why we don't want to improve. Why we don't want to get things right and get things taken care of. Why we want to live our lives with those things that we know God is not pleased with. I pray you'd help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking. Let me ask a question. I don't know 3 people's names in the building, I don't think. I know I don't know 5. You say, "Brother Green, there's something in my life that God has spoken to me about tonight. And I need to get it right. I need to get it taken care of. Would you pray with me about it? Would you raise your hand high so I can see it?" Be folk like that. God bless you. God bless you. You may put it down. God bless you. I pray you bless this individual, Lord. I don't know what it is, but I pray it be taken care of, and that soon. Is anybody else? All hearts are clear. That's good then. Pastor.
Who's using you? Amen. We came in for a spiritual checkup. We came to the great physician. He exposed His truth. Thank God the truth can set you free. May the Lord use this message in our hearts. Let's pray and be dismissed. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness and kindness, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, for your long suffering, for your patience, Lord, with us. Oh, how pitiful you are with us. And Lord, for that I'm thankful. I thank you for sending your servant here, Lord, to bring us your word. And Lord, I pray that each heart here will leave right with you. And Lord, whatever you spoke to us, each individual about, Lord, that we may act on that and not rest until we're right with you and whoever else, dear Lord, maybe we sinned against. Lord, please help us. And may we honor and glorify you in everything. Guard our hearts, Lord, our minds. And Lord, may we be very careful to what our eyes, our ears, and our mouth says. Because what proceeds from the mouth comes from the heart. I want my heart to be right with you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're at liberty to go.
Amen.